It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're live from Columbia, Tennessee. We're glad that you're with us tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, joins me tonight. Hello, Dad.
Hello, Jacob. Good to see you tonight. Looking forward to our Bible study.
Glad that you've taken time to join us on the program tonight. We hope you'll stay tuned. We've got an interesting discussion tonight, Dad. We want to talk about a subject that is of utmost importance. And we were talking just a minute ago. We think that probably most problems that churches have stem from the subject that we're going to talk about tonight.
I think probably in my personal experience, more church problems have resulted from violations of the principles we want to discuss tonight than anything I know about.
Take a guess. What do you think that is? Let us know. Send us an email right now to questions@collegeview.com or give us a call at 931-381-4567. What do you believe the cause of many church problems is? What do you think the biggest cause of church problems is? Call us right now and let us know your answer or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Also, if you logged on the program tonight, you likely saw a new button on the program. On the website, you can contact us over Skype on the program tonight. If you have Skype on your computer, just click on the button that's on the page there that you saw as you logged on to the program tonight, and you can communicate with us over Skype. Don't have to use your phone tonight. You can talk to us over the internet. Just click the button or Skype the Virtual Bible Study, and we can talk to you over that. That's up and ready to go tonight. So give that a try. Let us know your thoughts over Skype tonight as well, or you can call us the old-fashioned way, 931-381-4567, or you can send us an email to questions@collegeview.com.
Jacob, you ought to explain Skype a little bit, and maybe some of our listeners are not familiar with that. You've got to have some software on your computer if you're going to do that, right?
You do. You can get that by visiting skype.com. It's a free download, free service. You can actually talk just like you're talking on the telephone over the internet, and so if you haven't got that on your computer, you might want to investigate that. If you've already got it on your computer, give us a call by clicking the button there on our website. We're talking about, Dad, the cause of many church problems, perhaps the cause of every church problem. We'll talk about that on the program tonight. And if our listeners have any guesses as to what that is, we'd like to hear from them.
Well, probably a lot of things that people might think about as being the root cause of a lot of church troubles, but I suppose, Jacob, that we ought to just go ahead and say what we want to talk about, and that is relationships between brethren. You know, as I said earlier, it's been my experience that the relationships that brethren have and how they conduct themselves one toward another, and when they do badly in dealing with one another, that has been the source of a lot of problems.
That's right. If we can get this down, if we can have the right attitude towards one another, we can then understand that these problems that exist in churches should not exist. We can understand how to overcome them. I believe we've got an email there, Dad.
Got an email from Kent and Mindy in Jackson, Tennessee. We're glad you're listening out there, Kent and Mindy. And they take two guesses. But you know what? Now think about this, Jacob. This proves what you were saying earlier. These both relate to what we're talking about. Kent says selfishness is the cause. Mindy says worldliness is the cause of most church troubles. But you think about that. First of all, selfishness. The person who's selfish is not conducting himself toward his brother as he ought to. And even the person who engages in worldliness is not considering what that influence and example and discouragement is toward his fellow brethren. And so both of those things can be related to not thinking about my brethren and not being concerned about how my actions affect them.
And a person who is selfish is by default worldly, has a worldly view of life and worldly objectives. And so those are very good comments. Thank you for listening, Kent and Mindy. Thank you for your comments. Dad, we want to talk about placing our brother ahead of ourselves. This is of utmost importance. You know, we must love our brethren. That's told to us very clearly in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, where we read, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Dad, that passage right there is so clear. We must love our brethren. If we don't love our brethren as we should, Dad, we don't love God. That's the fact of the matter. So we can't say that we love God if we don't have the love of brethren that we should. I think there's a lot of Christians out who don't understand that. Don't understand that we're not loving God as we should if we don't love one another.
That's right. I think there are a lot of people who think that they can have horrible, mean, hateful, selfish attitudes toward their brethren, and it's really not that big of a deal. That they can still be faithful to God while manifesting bad attitudes toward other Christians, and that just simply is not true. Jesus said in John 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." It's not an option. It's not a good thing to do, but, you know, not so important. Jesus stated it as a commandment. And so, you know, we've got to address that. You know, on the virtual Bible study, we've talked about a lot of things that God commands. We've talked about things that God does not authorize and so forth. We've talked, really stressed the importance of obedience, that we've got to have Bible authority and we've got to do what the Scriptures say to do. Well, this is a commandment. It's not any less important, and in some ways could be considered the root of obeying many other commandments, and that is the commandment to love.
That's right, Dad. We must love. You know, Dad, a lot of people, though, think love is some type of touchy-feely type of arrangement. It's something that we just have this warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. Not exactly the type of love we're talking about on the program. We must love, Dad. It's more than just what we feel. It's more than just what we say. It's what we do. It's how we act. It manifests itself in the way that we treat our brethren. What do you think about love? Do you see it as a problem in churches? Do you think it is a problem among Christians that we fail to love one another as we should? Let us know your thoughts by calling 931-381-4567, by sending an email to questions@collegeu.com, or by hitting the Skype button on our website. And you can communicate with us over the internet by using Skype to talk with us on the virtual Bible study tonight. Give us a call on that. Let's try that out and see how that works tonight on the virtual Bible study. What about love? You know, Dad, it's very evident that Christians don't love each other as they should. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, we read, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." God manifested his love, Dad. God showed his love for us by the way that he treated us, and the same is true for us, the way that we treat our brethren. If we do not treat our brethren as we should, we don't love them as we should, our love will manifest itself in our actions towards our brethren.
So what you're saying there, Jacob, is, and I think it's a true observation, is that love is more than just an emotional feeling. True love is manifested in what we do. It's not just, you know, you have a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart, but it's manifested by what you do. And the example you cited there, God showed us that he loved us by sending Jesus to be our Savior. There's not any doubt about the love of God because he has demonstrated it. He has shown it. And so the question for us tonight as Christians is, if we're to love one another, then wouldn't it also be necessary that we will be manifesting that love? It's not enough to say, "Oh, I love my brethren," but what's the evidence of it? What's the demonstration of that love? That's what we've got to
be demonstrating our love. We're told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, that by love we're to serve one another. We serve one another by love. How can we do that? How can we fulfill the command to love others as we should, so that we can be pleasing to God? Because if a man say, "I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. We don't master this, Dad. If we don't figure out how we can serve one another by love, then we're not going to be pleasing to God. We need to hear your comments. Give us a call, 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight.
Jacob, you know, in our modern culture, we live in a sort of a me-centered society, and everybody thinks about themselves, and it's all about me. It's about what can be done for me. It's about my interest and my needs and my concerns, and really that is so anti-biblical. It's just against what God wants us to do. He wants us to think of others And in particular, our study tonight has to do about us thinking about our brethren. We need to be open to the needs of our brethren and be serving them.
Excuse me, let's go up to Ohio on the phones tonight and welcome George to the program. Hello, George. Welcome to the virtual Bible study.
I hope you can hear me. My voice is not too good tonight. I've had a little problems here.
Well, we can hear you just fine. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to mention it's quoted many times as John 3:16, but I think we fail to overlook what's really there. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." Giving is connected with his loving. So love is a giving, not a taking. We got it just opposite today. We take from people. And God so loved that he gave. It's giving all. And if we love one another with that idea, then we'll see that if others love us, we have that back in return.
Exactly. You know, it is exactly the opposite of what our society tells us, isn't it, George? That
absolutely.
It's our society tells us that love's all about me, how it makes me feel, yeah. What it does for me. And the Bible tells us that love is about what we can do for others and how we can serve them.
That's right. I always teach it as a giving, not a taking.
Well, George, you know, as I was saying just a minute ago, in our modern world, and especially in the country and the society that we live in, people are very self-centered. It's all about me. It's all about doing for me and what's in it for me. And the Lord has asked us to break out of that selfish trap and look out toward others and how we might serve them.
I think, too, Paul had a statement in Philippian letter when he said not to esteem yourself above others, but esteem others before yourself.
Exactly right.
And that goes against something taught today. We hear that hyphenated phrase, self-esteem. It means to esteem self.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, George, you might look on our archives. A while back, we did a virtual Bible study on the self-esteem movement and the fallacy of it in relationship to what the Bible teaches. I just think that the whole notion of building self-esteem is contrary to what the Bible says. All the warnings the Bible are being careful to say to be careful not to think too highly of yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you very much.
Thanks, George. Thanks for calling.
Good to hear from George tonight. Thank you for calling, George, and for your good comments. The phone line's open now, 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or Skype us on the program tonight. We're trying out something new. Talk to us on Skype if you have that capability on your computer.
Jacob, we've got an email from Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee, and he says a good verse concerning putting others first in our lives is Philippians 2, verse 3. The New American Standard Version reads, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." Paul says we're to consider others more important than ourselves, and I think Mike is exactly right. That's a hard thing to do. I mean, it's easy to say. It's harder to do because we tend to be selfish people. What comes naturally is selfishness, but the Lord has never ask us to be content with what comes naturally. He's asked us to go to a higher level. And going to a higher level means putting self behind others, thinking of others before you think of yourself, or as Mike's verse there, Philippians 2, verse 3 says, regarding others as more important than self. So I think that is the theme of our study tonight, Jacob. I think we're about time for a break. We'd love to have some more of our listeners call in, email us. We've had a couple emails. We've had a phone call. We're still waiting for one of those calls on Skype to see if our new setup is working. But you can call us 931-381-4567 or email us at questions@collegeu.com.
What do you think about love? How does love manifest itself? Let us know your thoughts. How can we be showing the love that we should? How can we be showing the love that we've been commanded to show, that without showing it, we will not be pleasing to God? We will, in fact, be hating God without the type of love that God requires of us. What is that love? How does it manifest itself? How do you love your brethren, and how do you show it? Let us know your thoughts on the program tonight. Again, 931-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com, or contact us on Skype. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
My name is Roger Toombs, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight. We're glad that you're with us. We're talking about love, how we can show love towards our brethren that we've been instructed to show if you're just joining us. We want to hear from you at 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or contact us on Skype on the virtual Bible study tonight.
Jacob, the New Testament teaches us that Christians definitely need to be concerned about one another and that we need to be helping each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Comfort yourselves together and edify one another." We need to do that. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, "Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin." And so we need to be thinking of one another to help each other spiritually because we're facing the problem of sin in our lives.
Exactly. We've got that problem of sin in our lives, and we need each other, Dad, to consider us, to love us enough, to encourage us to be what we need to be. And so we see that love is fundamental for us to be what we need to be in order to be pleasing to God.
That's right. Another verse along those lines, Hebrews 10:24, "Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." And so we definitely need to be looking in that direction.
All right. Let's go on to and try the Skype tonight, Dad. Jared in Cookeville is on the line. Hello, Jared. Welcome to the virtual Bible study.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. Thanks for contacting us tonight.
We can hear you there. It's coming across loud and clear.
You're sounding good in Cookeville tonight.
Do you have any comments?
Just going to make a quick comment about love, and that people today think that love excuses and overlooks sin, and that's not the intent of love. The intent of love is to correct our brethren. And so I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
All right. Well, that is a good point, Dad, that love does not excuse. Appreciate Jared for contacting us tonight. Love doesn't allow us to excuse error in our brethren's life. Dad, love, again, we've got to emulate God's love for us, and God's love for us did not allow Him to overlook our sin, and therefore our love for our brethren cannot allow us to overlook other sin. In fact, it must do just the opposite of that. It must demand that we correct our brethren when they are in error.
I think that's exactly right. In Romans chapter 13, beginning verse 9, there's a whole list of commandments that we're supposed to be keeping. In fact, it's at least a partial recitation of some of the commands that were in the Old Testament, but they're for us today. They're in the New Testament. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, notice, in conjunction with loving neighbor was the necessity of keeping all these other commands. How can I love my neighbor if I commit adultery against him, maybe, you know, take my neighbor's wife, or kill or steal or bear false witness? In other words, loving my neighbor necessitates me keeping the commands of God that regulate interpersonal relationships. And so I can't be ignoring those commands, and I cannot be committing sin, nor can my neighbor be committing sin, and those things are just overlooked and call that love. That's not true love, as Jared pointed out.
Thank you for contacting us on Skype tonight, Jared. If you'd like to contact us on Skype, hit the button on our website or give us a call at 931-381-4567 or by emailing us to questions@collegeview.com. Dad, we've mentioned this in the past, earlier in the program, but Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 are fundamental to this discussion. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 3, we read, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is a true paradigm shift, Dad, from the way that people think in our society, the way that worldly people think, and the way that we think if we do not train ourselves otherwise, is to think of ourselves first, to focus on our needs, our desires, our wants, and to put others' needs, desires, and wants second. But Jesus tells us, and God tells us here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it's exactly the opposite of that. I put others' needs ahead of my own. I put others' interests ahead of my own. I'm not just looking out for myself. Instead, I'm looking out for everyone around me, and I'm looking out for myself last. That's what the Bible tells us, Dad, and that's the attitude we must have if we're going to have the proper love for our brethren that we should.
Yeah, this is the verse that Mike suggested earlier, verse 3. And notice there, there's a couple of opposites listed in verse 3. Strife and vainglory is set in opposition to lowliness of mind and esteeming others better than self. And so as people of God, which of those descriptions would we want to pertain to us? Would we want to be accused of strife and vainglory? Or should we and would we want to be described as people with lowliness of mind who esteem others better than themselves? I think the answer is obvious. As I said, it's easy enough to, you know, recite those statements, but it's harder to put in practice, but it's a necessary thing.
By looking at that passage, we understand where strife and vainglory come from. They come from people who don't esteem others better than themselves, who do not have a lowliness of mind. They have that desire for vainglory. They have that strife and that struggle between brethren because they don't love others as they should, Dad. And we see in verse 4 there how this attitude, if we will adopt the attitude that we esteem others better than ourselves, we see how it is manifested that we look on the things of others. We are interested in their needs, and we're interested in how we can serve them and help them. We're not interested in ourselves. We're interested in them.
Jacob, another good verse that I think teaches along this line that we ought to throw into the mix is Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That phrase there, Jacob, in honor preferring one another, is an important one. The New American Standard says give preference to one another in honor. And the New International Version, now whenever I mention the New International Version, I feel compelled to say that's not my favorite translation. I don't think it's accurate in every place. In fact, I don't even think it's accurate in every place in the book of Romans. And so I warn people against using the New International Version as their exclusive study Bible, but it can be helpful to compare readings there sometimes. And here probably it is helpful. It uses the expression, honor one another above yourselves.
Exactly. You know, this attitude that is presented here is that others are more important than me, that I'm more interested in others than I am in myself. This flies in the face of pop psychology today. It flies in the face of the advertising that we see on a daily basis, that we need to look out for number one, that you got to go after whatever makes you happy. Don't worry about others. Do what you need to do to make yourself happy. The Bible tells us exactly the opposite. Isn't that interesting? That exactly the opposite of what the world teaches us. That's what the Bible teaches us, that we should be more interested in others, that we should honor one another above ourselves.
Well, we'd like to hear from some of our listeners out there. If you're listening, give us a call. What do you think are some Bible verses that are very important that address the idea of the relationships we have with our brethren in the Lord? As we said at the start of the program, all church problems typically can be at some point traced back to the fact that brethren don't have a right attitude toward each other, that Christians don't behave themselves as they should in their relationship with others. So we're thinking of some verses that teach us along that line, and if you know of a good one that you'd like to throw into the discussion, please do so by email. You can email us at questions@collegeu.com, or you can give us a call, 931-381-4567. We'd love to hear from you.
Or try us on Skype tonight. Click the button on our website, and you can contact us over Skype if you have that ability on your computer. How do you believe that love manifests itself? How can we determine if we have love for one another by our actions? And how should we act and behave towards others if we have the love that we should? What are some ways that we manifest our love? Because without this love, the church won't be what it should be. Our example in the world won't be what it should be, and we won't be pleasing to God without this love manifesting itself in our lives. Let us know, 931-381-4567. or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight.
You know, another good passage that teaches us about the need to be caring for others, serving others, putting others before ourselves comes from the example of Jesus himself in John chapter 13. I think a lot of you who are listening will be reminded of the episode in the life of Jesus near the end of his life in John chapter 13. Jesus, this is beginning verse 3, John 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. So here's Jesus, the very Son of God. In fact, the passage starts out by saying that he knew that he was come from God and that he was going back to God, that God had given all things. I mean, he is the very Son of God, co-creator of the universe, and yet here he is humbly washing his disciples' feet. Well, the passage goes on to say that when he comes to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "Ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Well, here we have the example of Jesus. And, you know, a lot of people would think, well, Jesus, you know, he's the one who should be served. He's the one. They should have been doing everything to show their humility and servitude toward him. But he reversed those tables and he set an example. He said, "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." And so Jesus' example of humble service to our brethren is what he was teaching, and we're to imitate that example.
If any man could have demanded that others serve him, if any man could have demanded that he be at the top of the pile, that he be the chief among men, would have been Christ, right, Dad? He could have demanded that. He was the creator of the world, but he did just the opposite of that. Instead of placing him at the top of the pile, instead of placing himself on top and being served by everyone else, he put himself at the bottom of the pile, and he served everyone else. If Christ can take on that attitude and does not have the attitude that he wants to be served by others, we have no right to expect that we should have any service of others, Dad. We should be in the business of serving others just as Christ served us.
We probably shouldn't pass from that passage there in John 13 without commenting on the practice of foot washing. You know, some people take the example that Jesus gave there and make that a religious ritual. And some religious groups actually engage in ceremonial foot washings, and that really isn't the point. Now, we could go into a discussion. That's not really the purpose of our study tonight. We could go into a study of that and show that that was never practiced in the New Testament church. It was never taught or imitated in their worship assemblies. But it really misses the point of the immediate context here, that in which Jesus was discussing the need to serve one another, to be humble and provide for the needs of others. That's what the example was. The example was not a ceremonial foot washing. It was an example of humble service. And that's what Jesus said should characterize those who are his disciples. And, you know, if our master would do that, then we ought to be willing to serve one another. Instead of wanting to be served, we should be wanting to serve others. And that's an attitude that is too often lacking in Christians.
There's an excellent commentary on Jesus' actions in Philippians chapter 2, a little bit later than we talked about earlier on the program. Beginning with verse 5, after we read in verses 3 and 4, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Then in verse 5, we have the commentary on Christ and his life. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ's attitude, Christ's life was about service to others, and that's the attitude that we're commanded to have, to imitate Christ in our service of others. How do you believe the love that we should have for our brethren is manifested in our lives? How do we show our brethren that we love them? Let us know on the program tonight.
We'd love to hear from you. Give us an email or a phone call or Skype us and tell us what you think are some important verses dealing with brotherly relationships in the Lord's church. You know, as we said earlier on the virtual Bible study, we've talked about a number of controversial subjects, things over which brethren are divided, over which the religious world is divided. But this problem that we're talking about tonight, Christians not acting properly toward one another, has almost undoubtedly caused more trouble in churches and been more divisive than almost anything else that we could have discussed or might have studied in the past on the virtual Bible study. So it's an important subject. If you've got some input, we want to hear from you. What is a verse that is very meaningful to you concerning how you feel you should relate to your brother? Let us know.
Let us know. You know, Dad, it's easy to talk about others and talk about why other people are wrong for beliefs that they hold. This is a subject that is more difficult to talk about because we're talking about ourselves, and we all can do better in loving one another. How can we do better? What are some ideas that you have? How can we imitate God and Christ in our love of one another? What are some things that we can do? Give us a call, 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or contact us on Skype on the virtual Bible study tonight. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Do you remember a time when no one had ever heard of a church with a family life center or a gymnasium? Can you think back to a time when good brethren would have been outraged to see a church budget overloaded with kitchen equipment and supplies, athletic equipment, and buses to carry kids to amusement parks? Are you concerned because the church you're attending has gotten all wrapped up in things that you know should not even be a part of the work of the church? Would you like to find a congregation that is committed to simply doing Bible things in Bible ways? If so, please visit the CollegeU Church of Christ. Come see for yourself.
I'm James Buchanan from Columbia, Tennessee, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over, and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And we're back on the virtual Bible study. Thank you for joining us tonight. I want to remind you this program is brought to you by the CollegeU Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. To find out more about the CollegeU Church of Christ, visit our website, collegeu.com, or call us anytime at 931-381-4567 if you have any questions about what we're all about.
Dave, we want to start plugging an upcoming event here at CollegeU for everybody who's listening in the Middle Tennessee area. And if you're within driving distance of Columbia, Tennessee, we want to invite you to a gospel meeting we're going to be having here at CollegeU. The dates are November 12th through the 17th. November 12th is a Sunday, and our meeting will begin that day. In fact, that afternoon we'll have a congregational singing at 2:30, and our evening worship will be earlier than usual at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Monday through Friday that week we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock. So we'd like any of you who are listening in the Middle Tennessee area or anywhere within a driving distance of Columbia, Tennessee. We know we have listeners from all over the country and even from foreign countries. But if you're in our area, please plan to join us for this gospel meeting coming up November 12th through the 17th.
That's right, November 12th through 17th at 7 o'clock each night, Monday through Friday. And our regular service times on Sunday, we'll have this special service, these special series of lessons. We would encourage you to come and visit with the CollegeU Church of Christ at that time to find out more about what the Church of Christ is all about. Again, November 12th through 17th. And Dad, Thursday night again, as usual, we'll do the program live immediately following the meeting. And so if you're in the audience at that time, you can join us for the broadcast live and participate live.
Yeah, we usually do a sort of an open forum, take questions from the audience, and take questions from our live audience. So, you know, if you can be here, you can kind of see how we do the virtual Bible study live and in person.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, we're talking about love and how we can manifest it, because without love, we won't be pleasing to God. So how can we show it in our lives? How can we exhibit the love that God has shown for us and that Christ showed for us in our attitudes and our service of others? Let us know, 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com or contact us on Skype tonight by using the button on our website or Skyping the virtual Bible study. That's our username on Skype.
Jacob, another passage that we can throw in here has to do with the way the Apostle Paul described the church as a body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse 14, he said, "The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of thee.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the whole body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." You know, Paul really paints a very good word picture there, easy to see. You know, in our physical bodies, if one small part of our body suffers, the whole body reacts to tend to it. If I smash my little finger with a hammer, well, I can run and jump and hop around and yell and shout and cringe, and it's just my little finger, but my whole body reacts to the fact that it's been hurt. We understand that in the physical body, and Paul's saying that's the way it should be in the spiritual body, that we should have care and concern for one another, and if one member is hurting, we should all react to try to help.
That's right. We're all in this together. We need each other. We must be showing the love towards one another, or else the body won't be what it should be. Let's go out on Skype and welcome Wade to the program. Hello, Wade. Welcome to the virtual Bible study.
Hey, Jeff. I'm having a problem. I'm overlapping computer and the words speaking and what you're speaking.
Okay, well, if you can ignore that overlap for a little while and talk with us, we'd appreciate it. What do you think about love, Wade?
What I think about is that when we talk about love, we don't always think about it. I think it's the way that Jesus actually thought about it. My question is, people think that love is always something good that's going to happen to them. But when Jesus talked about different things, you know, Jesus was the master of love, and he obviously knew everything about it. But Matthew 9:9, you know, he talks about divorce, some of those things people are comfortable with. Jesus, the truth, knew what was for each person. Obviously, laws that God made, and the Bible says that God's love is going to affect everybody, and it's going to be right for everybody. But some people would get at you because they said, "Well, you know, you're in a simple situation. You need to get out of that simple situation." But you're showing actually love to the person, but they may not perceive it as
love. I agree with you, Wade. Wade, you're right. One thing I think that the point that Wade makes out here is that love doesn't always mean that that we're going to benefit from it. You know, if I show love to you, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to benefit from it physically. Jesus didn't benefit from the love that he showed us. That was a sacrifice. And that's really what we're talking about. A sacrificial love is the love that Jesus showed us.
And I think also, I think we've got some technical glitch there, and Wade's cutting in and out on us with the Skype call. But I think I pick up on what he's saying is, you know, that love doesn't necessarily mean that I do things that are always pleasant to others. Sometimes love requires us to do things that are unpleasant. You know, if I've got a child and he runs out into the street in front of a car and I have to snatch him up and spank him to teach him not to run in front of the car, that is a sign of love. I love my child, and therefore I'm not going to let him do things that are harmful or dangerous. And spiritually, that's sometimes true too, that if we love our brethren, then we'll do things that are not necessarily pleasant to have to do, but are necessary to do in order to show that we love our brethren.
That's right. We can't just gauge this love based on how it makes me feel or what it does for me, but it must be gauged on how it affects others. We appreciate Wade for contacting us on Skype tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or contact us on Skype or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We have an email there.
We got an email from a listener here in Columbia, Tennessee, which says that Matthew 7, verse 12 is a good rule about interpersonal relationship, often called the golden rule. New American Standard Version reads, therefore, whatever you want others to do to you, do so for them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus, and then the comment here is, Jesus commands us to do those things for other people that we would want them to do for us. This is a command. This teaching is about giving and not receiving, and I think it's exactly right. So certainly that is another verse to show the importance of our relationship with others.
What do you think about love? Let us know. How can we manifest the love that God requires of us? How can we manifest that? How will it be shown in our lives? How will we treat others if we have the love for them that we should? Wade's already mentioned that having the love for others may cause us to do things that aren't necessarily pleasing to us because of the love that we have for them.
Another verse, we can just keep coming to more and more verses that teach this, because I think the Bible has so much to say about the need for these sort of things. James 3, verse 13 beginning, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is above is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So a lot of emphasis there on having the right attitude and ridding ourselves of the hurtful dispositions of envying and strife. There's just too much of that in the world, even among God's people. There's too much envying and strife. And when we do that, James says we're lying against the truth. When we behave that way, we're not demonstrating the truth of God.
And you know, those who think that they're wise and knowledgeable, Dad, are often prime offenders in the area of love. Those who believe that they're somehow more knowledgeable than others, don't treat others like they should, don't have the love that they should towards others. James chapter 3, verse 13 makes an interesting observation. It tells us that if we are wise and knowledgeable, it will prompt us and promote us to do those acts of kindness, and we will act out of a good conversation. We'll have works with meekness of wisdom. If we have wisdom, Dad, and knowledge, it will cause us to love others and to treat them as we should. If we're not treating others as we should, we're not wise in God's eyes.
You know, I want to go to the point, just before we go to this next break, I want to emphasize the point that Wade made about the fact that sometimes when we love others and do so properly, it will necessarily mean that we address problems and errors, and it may not be pleasant for the moment. In Galatians chapter 2, I think many of our listeners are familiar with the episode where Peter came to Antioch in Syria. Paul was there. Peter was freely associating with the Gentiles, but it says in verse 12 that when certain came from James, that is, Jews from Jerusalem, he did eat, before they came, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, before them all, and then it goes on to say how he rebuked Peter. But notice, when he saw that they weren't walking uprightly according to the truth, what did he do out of love? Well, he reacted, not pleasant for the moment, but necessarily to correct their sin.
What do you think about love? How will it portray itself? We'd like to hear from you. How do you show your love? You know, this should be an easy thing to discuss, Dad. How do we show our love for others? How do we go about our daily life to show others that we love them? Let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567. questions@collegeview.com or Skype the virtual Bible study. Tonight, we'd love to hear from you and hear your comments. One more break to go. Stay tuned, and then we'll be right back after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello, everyone. I'm Britt Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like He has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
I'm Arthur Haynes from Culloch, Tennessee, and one of my greatest highlights of the week is to listen to the virtual Bible study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight. We're glad that you've joined us, and we look forward to hearing from you in the final minutes of the program. How do you show your love towards others? How does it manifest itself in your life? Let us know. 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight. You know, one way that love manifests itself in our lives is that love never seeks to take the glory for itself. You know, I think that's a problem in our society. Everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to have celebrity status. You know, that is portrayed to us in the media as being the you've arrived if you are some type of celebrity that everyone follows around to find out what you're doing and is interested in you. Love doesn't seek that glory for itself. It doesn't want the best for itself. Instead, it wants that for others. That's the love that we're to have.
Jesus actually said in Matthew 23 and verse 11, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So greatness in God's estimation and in the Lord's estimation is in serving others, not being served, not putting self first, but putting others first. That's how we attain greatness in the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Love never says, "How will others serve me? What are others going to do for me?" That's not love. Love says, "How can I serve others? What am I going to do for others?" That's not the attitude that our society promotes, but that's the attitude that we should have, and that's what love will cause us to do. Let us know your thoughts again. We need to hear from you on the program tonight.
You know, some of the characteristics that go hand in hand with the kind of conduct that we've been discussing tonight, Jacob, are the ideas of humility and meekness. We've already talked about manifesting the wisdom that is from above. When we put others before self, when we serve rather than seeking to be served, we're actually imitating our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we ought to strive to do.
That's right. And, you know, we've got to have some attitudes that go along with this. We've got to be humble, and that's what love really is. Love requires humility, and it requires meekness. You know, Dad, we're told throughout the Scriptures that we've got to be meek. That's wrapped up in this idea of love, is that we're interested in the well-being of others, and we're not going to not show that meekness towards them that we should. We've got to have meekness as we display our love towards others.
You know, I'm thinking of some examples of people that really characterized this attitude. We could talk about Aquila and Priscilla, who are just incredible examples. Every time they're mentioned in the New Testament, a man and his wife who were devoted servants of the Lord. But also notice how they were devoted servants of their fellow Christians in Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." They were so devoted to serving others that they were even willing to risk their own lives to assist. That's certainly a high level, but that's the kind of disposition that we need to possess. That's the ultimate of the characteristics that we've been describing tonight in our study about relationships with others and putting others before self.
You think anybody in America could do that, Dad, that Aquila and Priscilla did there? You know, they risked their own life in order to be of service to Paul. What do you think about that? Do you think that is an attitude that Americans would display?
Not likely. As we've been saying, we live in this very selfish age, and so that's hard. I've got an email coming in from Mike in Cullioca, Tennessee. Mike, we're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study tonight. He mentioned something that I think Wade was talking about on Skype, although Wade's Skype call was a little choppy. Mike mentions love for our brothers sometimes requires discipline. It seems like most of us look at discipline in a negative way. It should be a positive attitude, concerned for the soul of our brother who is erring. And I think that's exactly right. In other words, true love would not look away from a brother who's sinning. True love would take action to restore such a one. And we're encouraged to do that in numerous places. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." In the book of James, in chapter 5, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." And so I think Mike's exactly right that we have to exercise efforts to restore the erring. And sometimes that even goes to the level of what we sometimes refer to as church discipline. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 at verse 14, "If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." We still love him. He's still a brother. He's an erring brother. And we want more than anything else to see him restored to faithfulness. And so we'll do what it takes.
You know, that's an interesting concept, Dad, because restoring someone who has fallen away is not a comfortable thing to do. It's not something that we would normally enjoy. And it's easily put off and ignored, that responsibility we have to those who have fallen away. But yet, if we love them as we should, it will require us to put ourselves in that awkward situation, to do something that's uncomfortable, because we love our brother and we want to see him restored.
One of the best-known episodes in the New Testament of someone who needed that discipline was the brother in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, an immoral man that the church at Corinth had not disciplined. They were just going on as if everything was normal. And Paul rebukes not only the man who was in sin, but the church for tolerating that horrible situation. And he instructed them, he says, in the name, this is 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." In other words, they were to take steps to try and restore that man so that his soul would be saved. You know, that's the ultimate love. The ultimate love is not to just try to maintain pleasant relationships for the moment. The ultimate love is to take measures that will help save the soul in eternity.
Exactly right. Well, what do you think? 931-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com, or contact us on Skype tonight. We'd love to hear from you on the virtual Bible study as we talk about love and how it will manifest itself in our life. Dad, again, love will cause us to do things that may not benefit us, may not make us comfortable, may not be the best for us physically, even as we see Aquila and Priscilla risk their lives physically for someone else. We need to do the same, Dad, but a lot of times we use that as a governor, sort of. We look at doing something for someone else and we don't ask what can we do for them or how will that help them. We ask, what will it cost me? You know, could I do something nice for someone else who is in need, but I'm not required to do that because, you know, I've had a long week at work and, you know, I really don't have to go over and to see to the needs of someone who's sick because, look, I've had a long day at work and God would not require that of me. You know, that's the wrong kind of thinking, Dad. Love causes us to make sacrifices even when it's not comfortable for us.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And that kind of thing that you're just talking about is described in the passage in the New Testament that many times people refer to as the perfect description of love, of the kind of love that we've been talking about tonight anyway, the love that cares for our brethren above ourselves. I don't think we could probably have a discussion of this topic without at least referencing 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning verse 4, it talks about love. I'm reading the King James Version, so it's going to use the word charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And so Paul there, in giving this description of love by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I think has certainly got an accurate and perfect picture of the true kind of love that we've been discussing. Notice, this love does not vaunt itself up, is not puffed up, also does not seek its own. That's the point we've really been stressing in our study tonight, is that if we have the love that the Bible teaches us to have for one another, then it's not all about me. It's not about what's been done for me or what can be done for me or what's in it for me. True love seeks not her own. That's a very important statement.
Exactly, and it is a statement that is easier said than done. It is easier to say that than it is to put it into action in our life. You know, Dad, we're all tempted to look out for our own needs, to not be so concerned about others, but a love that God requires of us for our brethren will cause us to look to somewhere else besides just ourselves. It causes us to look to those who are around us and seek their interest, to ask the question, what can I do for them? Not what can they do for me, but what can I do for them? Dad, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the program that this is a problem in many churches, that many of the problems in the church today are a result of the fact that people don't love others. How many times have you heard people complain that the church just didn't do things for them that they should? You know, can you have that attitude? Can you complain that the church and brother or sister so-and-so did not do something for me? Can you have that attitude? Can you say that and have the love that God requires of you?
It doesn't seem like it does. It doesn't seem like that fits. We might end our study tonight, Jacob, with sort of putting a challenge out there to our listeners. This is an important subject. As we tried to emphasize all night long, this is so important that it failing to follow the biblical principles has led to trouble and division in churches for centuries, and in our own lifetimes as well. This is really important. We've got to get a handle on treating our brethren, fellow Christians, in the way that we should. So we might put a challenge out there, Jacob, for everyone who's listening, to think of some way in the coming week that you can esteem others better than yourself, some way to put others before yourself, some way to be a servant in the vein of the teachings that we read tonight.
Find some way to be a servant, to emulate Christ's love for us. That's an excellent goal to put before ourselves, Dad. And you know what? If we'll do that, we'll find true happiness there. We're not going to find happiness and fulfillment in this life by having others to serve us. Dad, true happiness and fulfillment comes by being a servant of others. It's ironic, and it's contrary to the popular thought of the day, but that's where we can find fulfillment, Dad. That's where we can be what God would have us to be if we'll assume that role of being a servant of others. That's where the true meaning in this life is.
Things that you do for yourself will soon be forgotten. Things that you do for others will be remembered for a long time.
Exactly. All right, Dad. Well, thank you for your comments tonight, and appreciate our listeners for joining us on this important discussion.
Well, we've enjoyed the study. It's an important study. We hope we've said some things that have been an encouragement. I don't think that we've probably broken any new ground or made any startling revelations to anybody. But I think we have talked about some biblical principles that are very important, and we hope we've been an encouragement to everybody who's been listening tonight. We hope you'll make our virtual Bible study on Thursday nights a regular appointment. We look forward to seeing you every Thursday night, Lord willing, at this time, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Join us for the virtual Bible study.
And if you have any subjects that you'd like discussed on the virtual Bible study, feel free to give us those suggestions anytime by giving us a call at 931-381-4567 or by emailing us anytime throughout the week to questions@collegeview.com. If you have a Bible subject that you'd like discussed in this forum, let us know so we can discuss it. We appreciate you joining us on the program tonight. We hope you'll make plans to be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study, and we hope you'll invite a friend to join us on the virtual Bible study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.